Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. And today I'm going to finish the kind of mini series Pastor Christian has been preaching for the last two Sundays. And it's called The Cost of Following Christ. Amen? So this is like the title of the series. But today, my title of the message is this: Painfully Honest. Amen? Painfully Honest. And we're going to read Luke chapter 14, 25 to 35. Let me take some drink. I was singing really hard and kind of like my throat got a little bit. But God is good. Amen. So let's pray and then we jump into reading the word. Father God, thank you so much for this morning, Father. Father, you know, Father, how this word, Father, can offend us, Father, in many ways, Father. And even myself, Father, I feel so short and so inadequate, Father, in the light of this scripture we're going to read, Father. Father, but thank you so much for, because you challenge us, Father, and you don't want to leave us the way we are, Father. And Father, help me to just to do the best that I can to communicate, Father, the truth of your word, Father. My ideas don't really matter, Father, but your word is what it matters, Father. And I pray, Father, that you give me your grace and your Holy Spirit, Father, just to preach your word, Father, today. Thank you so much for everything that you're going to speak to us. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen. So Luke chapter 14, verses 25 to 35 says this: Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife, children, brothers and sisters, yet even his own life, such person cannot be my disciple." Now, just to clarify, this is not endorsement. If you have a grudge against somebody or somebody in your family, this is not an endorsement to do it. Amen? We got to read it in the context of what Jesus is saying, okay? And we're going to explain to it as we go through these scriptures. Amen? So, let's continue. "And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." Verse 28, "Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, 'This person began to build and wasn't able to finish.' Or suppose a king is about to go to a war against another king. Won't he first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? And if he's not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, those of you who will not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples. The salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is fit neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. It is thrown out. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." Amen. I just want to start my message with this statement. Salvation costs you nothing, but following Jesus will cost you everything. Amen. I'm going to say it one more time. Salvation costs you nothing, but following Jesus will cost you everything. Amen. So, what I wanted to see here, and I want to point first, is Jesus in this scripture. Jesus is known a company who wants to sell you a product And they tell you all the benefits that you will have, but don't tell you the cost. I don't know if you ever wanted to, well, I'm assuming every of you have internet or cable, you know, or any of those kind of services. Did they tell you, oh, it's going to be $19.95 in the TV, right? And then you get excited, you call, hey, can I want internet, I want this and that, and it's going to be $20. Okay, yeah. So you contact all the services, and you make the contract with them and everything. Then 6 months pass, and then your bill goes up to $70 and $80. It's like, whoa, what's happening here, you know? And then you call to the company, and they say, well, yeah, it was $20, but it was only for 6 months. You got to read the what? Fine print, right? Jesus is not that kind of company or that kind of salesman who tells you that everything is going to be good and pretty, but doesn't tell you the cost. Jesus here is really being painfully honest with all of us. Amen? So I want to go to the first verse, verse 25. It says this. The large crowds were troubling with Jesus. And turning to them, he said, now, Jesus knew that all the people that were following him, thousands of them, not all of them were following because they wanted to follow him, really. You know, Jesus has large crowds of people because he will feed them, because he will make miracles, of course, because he will teach. And a lot of people were following him just because they wanted a miracle, just because they wanted something that Jesus can give to them, right? Jesus knows this. And I'm just going to tell you this, you know. I've been to many conferences over the years, you know, about church growth, about, you know, how to make your church a pillow wall, whatever. If Jesus would be here in our days, I think he will fail every course on church growth, because what he does here is totally opposite of what we're told to do. Amen. Now, I'm not saying that conferences are bad. I mean, obviously they give you good insights and things like that, but the way that Jesus did is just so offensive to people even to come to follow him and sometimes. So just imagine, you know, the crowds are there with Jesus. The disciples are excited. We have 5,000 people today, Jesus, and maybe more because the women and the boys are here. So maybe we have 10,000. Man, we have discovered how do we grow the church, Jesus. And they're all excited about it, you know. But then Jesus does something very radical, and he sees the masses of people, and he turns to them and began to say some words that might offend the crowds. Amen? And which brings me to my first point. If we want to follow Jesus, point number one, we have to love him above all. Amen? Look at what Jesus says to the crowds when he turns. He says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate Father and his mom, wife, children, brothers and sisters, yeah, even their own life, such person cannot be my disciple. How in the world are you going to get disciples saying this kind of thing? This go against any political campaign, you know? You won't get disciples, you don't get followers by saying these kind of things. But this is these are the most amazing things. What Jesus does is he clears the crowds and boils down to the ones that really want to follow him. Jesus did this in many occasions in the other gospels. And the other gospel says that the crowds disappear. And then it boils down to the 12. And then the 12 are really worried about what's going on. And they say, Jesus, everybody left. And what Jesus says, you guys want to go too? You guys can go. Yeah. But what one of the disciples says, no, we can't go because only you have words of what? Of life, eternal life. Amen? So now, just to clarify, like I say, you know, this is no endorsement to hate somebody. Obviously, the Bible has language, amen? Like we have language. And if I say, my phone cost me an arm and a leg, well, you're not really thinking that I don't have an arm and a leg, right? Unless I'm like missing my arm and a leg, then it will be weird, you know? I'll be sitting down probably. So it has a language to what? To communicate an idea, right? To emphasize something. So now, the same way as in the scriptures. I know it's a really strong word, but if you look to other translations, the Spanish translation says, if you do not sacrifice your love for your parents, right, your wife, your wife, your husband, or brothers and sisters and children, you know, even your own life, you cannot be my disciple. So the point in here is not, should I hate? The point here is Jesus is trying to give him an idea. What is that idea? That the love is required to follow God, to love him above everything. Amen? It's not that we should hate, because we can go to the Bible and find little scriptures, verses like this, and we can say, oh, see, that's what the Bible says, right? But in the context, it's not what it's saying. Amen? So Jesus is saying, if you don't love me more than your family, than your the closest and most intimate relationship that you ever have in your life, you can't be my disciple. So Jesus is putting our relationship with him to a different category over everything. And how many of us, we love our parents, we love our children, our wives, you know, and we cannot even conceive a life without them. And just the thought of thinking about losing one of them, it kind of brings pain and sorrow to our lives, right? Just thinking about it. Because we love them so much. Just imagine what is to require to follow Jesus is way more up there than the love that we have for the closest people we ever have in our lives. And Jesus is saying to the crowds, and I just imagine to the disciples, you know, and say, man, Jesus, can you tone it down a little bit? You know, it's kind of like, it's not very appropriate to say those things, Jesus. But Jesus is not a salesman. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. And he knows that for him, the people needs to understand what it's going to cost to follow him. Amen. It's not enough with miracles. It's not enough to be fed by Jesus. The food, the physical food is not enough. You have to make a commitment greater than that to follow. And that's why Jesus turns to the crowds, because he knows that all those people that are in the crowds, not everybody's following because they want him. They want what he can give them. And you know what? As a Christian, sometimes we can get to the right mindset, right? What can you do for me, Jesus? What can you give me? I'll follow you as long as you give me this, as long as you keep me healthy, as long as you give me this, I'll follow you with all my heart. Maybe we don't say it that way, but we act on it. We act, but every time there comes something into our lives, we begin to ask, complain to God about, God, if I follow you, why this is happening? Jesus is not a salesman. I'm not trying to offend any salesman here, okay? I'm just saying, Jesus has not tried to tell you all the benefits, but doesn't tell you all the how much it's going to cost you. He tells you up front. And I wrote this, came to my mind while I was doing these messages. When you love God in the way that the Bible teaches, then you won't have to worry about choosing who we're going to love first. because all of the other relationship would automatically became being in the right place. Amen. When we put God in priority, then we will gain perspective about what relationships and what those relationships where they should be in our lives. Amen. So my second point is here this morning is, if we want to follow Jesus Christ, we have to carry our cross. Amen. Not only we have to love him above everything, but we have to carry our cross also. It demands something from me. Amen. It says, verse 27 says, and whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Now, let me tell you what that means. Because I heard sometimes, you know, people says, all this week, you know, I got a flat tire. I guess that is the cross that I have to bear, you know, and say things like that. But that's not really what the text is saying. It's not what really what it means. Amen? It's something more profound and more strong, what Jesus is saying. And maybe we don't get the same impact when we hear these words. Because when Jesus spoke these words, it had a really strong meaning that literally, you are going to die. What did the cross represent? Remember, the Israelites were captives. I don't know how to say captives. They will be governed by Rome. And if you want to rebel against Rome, if you don't want to follow their, their rules and regulations, then if you became a rebel of Rome, you're going to get killed. You're going to get crucified. That's why Jesus got crucified, and not just Jesus, but all the rebels, right? In their time, that was like the way to say to the people, if you don't want to play by rules, this is what will happen to you. And many people who study the Bible, they say that they put the crosses, you know, when they crucify people, they will put them in a public place. So anybody who will pass, so will go to the, to the market and to go to work, to do whatever they have to do, they see what's been done to these people who rebel against Rome. So they automatically, they get a message and say, I better stay quiet. I better don't say anything because this is going to happen to me if I ever do anything against Rome. So they will put them in the public places and the main roads so everybody can see them and they can be afraid of doing something against Rome. Just listen, when Jesus is saying these things, you know, when Jesus turns to the crowds and says, you have to be able to carry your cross. In other words, you have to be able, you have to be willing to be killed and die if you want to follow me. You see how different impact has? When we read this, it's like for us, the cross is a symbol of what? Of redemption, of power, and what Jesus did in the cross, you know. But in that time, for that audience that Jesus spoke, it has a whole different meaning. But Jesus is saying, you're going to die, because that's what it's going to take for them to follow Jesus. Remember in the story of the church, we say all the apostles dying, horrible death, being persecuted, because of following Jesus. And Jesus is telling them way before they, to the crowds, you know, before they join this movement, you have to understand that you're going to get killed. You got to understand that you're going to die, probably. Now, what does that mean to us? Obviously, nobody's killing us yet to follow Christ. Obviously, nobody is persecuting us in our society to follow Christ. In some other countries, yes, Christians are being persecuted and they're being killed for professing Christianity. But here in the United States and in other nations, they don't kill us to follow Christ. Yeah? But what does that mean to us then? Well, we'll still have to die. Amen. We live in one of the most free countries in the world. Amen. It's a blessing. But it also can get in the way to following Christ. Why? Because Jesus is saying here, if you want to follow me, you have to die. Die to what? To your ideas, to your prideful, to your pride, even your own dreams for the sake of what? Of following Christ. Now, how many of you guys know that we have to test everything that comes to our mind, because sometimes we think the ideas and good ideas all comes from God, right? But the Bible tells us that we have to test, because our heart is deceitful and more than anything else, right? So now, a few years ago, I told in the first service, I wasn't going to say this, but now I have to say in every service. If you like to say, the Lord told me this, I'm going to do this, you got to be really sure that the Lord told you, okay? A few years ago, I was probably like 18, 19 years old. a young woman came. I was at that time not married. I wasn't looking into getting married at all, you know? But she came and told me, the Lord told me that you're going to be my husband. And I'm like, what? I wasn't looking to get married or anything like that, you know? I didn't know what to say, to be honest. Because this girl was, I consider this girl like to be very like into God. She prayed all that. She would serve the church and all, you know? It would be churchy, you know? Yeah. So I say, man, she's really like following Christ, you know? And the Lord told her that, but the Lord hasn't told me anything to me. It's like, I feel so weird, you know, about this. And I remember I was, at that time, I was very naive in that area of my life, you know. And I would pray to God, and I would say, God, why, God? I mean, it's nothing wrong with her. She's praying and everything, but I just don't see myself. I don't feel anything, you know. God, why? For a few months, you know, I feel like a God just cursed me into this relationship that you're going to be there, and no matter how you feel about it, just it's going to happen, you know? Well, it never happened. She went to the college and moved out of the States and all that. But sometimes we get these things about within the every thought that maybe feels good as a God-given thought for our lives. So we need to be very careful. Amen? So I'm not usually the guy who's going to call the Lord, tell me this. Because, I mean, I can be crazy, you know? It can be sometimes, you know? The Bible says that we have to test. And let me tell you, when you say the Lord, you really put him, a person in a between the wall and the sore. Is that what it is? Right. That's what we say in Spanish, between the sore and the wall. You know, you can't do anything about it because the Lord tells you, right? Who's going to say anything against the Lord? Now, what does that have to do everything with what I'm saying? Well, first of all, I just wanted to throw a little so you can laugh and all that. But I have an idea that sometimes we have to die to our own dreams to fulfill God's dream. And this is what I see, you know, in my life and in other people's life, that sometimes we think that just because I have a good idea and it feels good, then I throw this scripture that says, I can do all things through Christ, then I can do it. And it's a good idea, and God wants me to do that. But we need to be very careful. You have to pray. You have to be really seeking God to see, God, is that what you want me to do? Or is just my pride. It is just my dream. Oh, God, is this really from you? Amen? So we need to be very careful. And what Jesus is saying is, if you want to follow me, you have to die. This means to us, we have to die, you know, sometimes. And I don't know what the call for God is from your life. It's maybe different, your calling than my calling. But that's you have to figure it out. What is your calling that God is giving you? And maybe that will match with your dreams. And it's good, but what if it doesn't match with your dreams? Amen? You have to die. And you have to put those things. Of course, you can follow your dreams and forget about God. But I tell you, you may live a miserable life doing that in your life. Because only God can give you the fulfillment that you need to walk in His path. Amen. A couple of weeks ago, Pastor Christian was talking about, I don't know if it's last week or a couple of weeks ago, one of his last two messages, he was talking about this friend who has had a call from God to be a missionary. But then he began to take a different path in his life. And years has passed, you know, and he said that one time he came across with him, you know, in a store or something, buying something, and he told him, Christian, please don't ever walk away from God's calling. I live miserably my life now. I should have followed what God, the calling that God in my life. Now it's, the calling is different. I'm not saying that you have to be a pastor, I'm saying that you have to be anything. You have to figure out what's your calling for your life. Amen. It means different for me, for you, it's different. But the point is this, that we want to follow Jesus, we have to die to our own self, egotistic, prideful nature. It's a requirement. Amen. And all of us, we have this nature that wants to pull us down and wants to accomplish what you want to accomplish, but not so much what God wants to accomplish through your life. Amen? And it's a battle that we have in our lives. Number three, if we want to follow Christ, we have to count the cost. Amen? When I joined the ministry 10 years ago, I didn't expect it to be the way it is, to be honest, you know. I had this kind of like, I don't know, idea of ministry, of pastoring, of doing all these things, you know. I have the wrong impression. Because yes, pastoring and serving the Lord has great meaningful fulfillment in your life, but it also costs you something. Amen? It costs you sometimes, your well-being, it costs you a lot of things. Okay? And I didn't thought, you know, I didn't really count the cost much away because I was so excited about it. I was thinking, you know, that this and that, as soon as I get into ministry, you know, a lot of people is going to come and they're going to hear what Luis has to say, right? And it's like my first, when I became the Spanish pastor, I was so, and I've said it before and I said it to the Spanish ministry, I was a very prideful man. I thought that I could do the Spanish ministry. I thought that I can bring hundreds of people. I knew how to do this. I thought myself. And I even verbalized it. It was so, you know what happened? The Lord allowed me to humiliate myself. Because the first service we have, like, I don't know, it was kind of full. Over the months, decline, 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 decline. After a year, I was depressed. I was done. I wanted to quit ministry. It's going to cost something. Amen? And it is in these times when God really deal with my heart and say, you are so prideful. You can't do this without me. And things are not going to be always the way that you want it. Amen? So we got to count the cost. Jesus here is not trying to discourage the crowds from following him. He's just making them know, if you really want to follow me, it's going to cost you something. And it's going to cost you maybe your family. It's going to cost you your well-being. And it's going to cost you. So the crowds disappear. The crowds go. Why? Because it's hard. It's hard to follow Jesus. It's hard. If it would be easy, this place will be filled. Every church will be filled, but it's not that easy to follow in Christ the way he wants us to be follow him. Amen? It's going to cost us something. It's going to cost us everything that we have in our lives. So we have to count the cost. Verse 28 says, suppose if one of you wants to build a tower, when you first sit down and estimate the cost, right? You don't do your work first and say, okay, I'm going to build this, and do I have the money to build it? Now, how many of you guys have projects that you have never finished in your life? I tell you, I have a couple of those, you know. Finally, I get rid of them, of one of those last year, you know. I'm just going to tell you what it was. 8-9 years ago, I was very excited to get into carpentry, right? To learn how to make furniture, and I was dreaming, I want to make my furniture, and I want to sell them, I want to put my shop, blah, 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 you know, and all that. At that point, I have zero anything about construction, you know? So I got excited, I buy a drill, I buy a little table saw, I even buy a router saw, you know, router table, sorry. And I had all the tools there. I looked very professional, you know. I just didn't know how to do anything. So I began to, I find some plans for a TV stand. On the internet, I download and print them out, and I'm looking through the, you know, pages and the measurements and all that. Man, it's so complicated, you know, I got so overwhelmed. So I began kind of like to follow the plan, but not follow the plan, you know, kind of like, because it was so hard, you know, I didn't know what it means, those measurements or those terms and all that. So I just, by the picture, you know, kind of like, okay, I'm supposed to cut this, I'm supposed to put this here. So I end up kind of doing it, but it was really ugly. Ugliest thing, you know. It wasn't even level, you know, I put it there and then one leg was like, how the TV, you know, the kids are going to be like doing this and then the whole thing is going to come out, you know. Anyway, I got so discouraged about that, you know. I spent probably like $60-$80. At that time, you know, 9 years ago, it was a lot of money, you know. Still is, you know. But for us, it was a lot of money in that time, you know. And I was just throwing it away, you know, like, because I didn't finish my project. And I even told my wife, this is going to, I'm going to put it here, you know. And she, I don't know if she really, like, follow me. Or, but she never say anything, you know. She just, oh, cool, baby. Good, you know, you can do it. Thank you so much for the wives that gives us some, encouragement, amen? Anyway, I got so fed up with that thing, I get so discouraged, I put it in the garage, and for years I hated it so much. Every time that I pass through the garage and I see the thing, I will be embarrassed to myself. You know, I never finished it. I don't have any skills for this kind of thing, you know? And finally, last year, I was cleaning the garage, and I just throw it away. You know, I just take it to the dump over there and throw it away because I didn't want it to see it no more, you know. Now, over the years, you know, I've been a little bit more better in construction and all that, you know, so maybe I can do something maybe, you know, now. But the point is this, you know, the thing is that we all have projects in our lives, things that we didn't accomplish, that bring us shame sometimes when we see them, that we didn't accomplish. Do you have some of those in your life? Maybe it's not a furniture. Maybe it's, I don't know, anything that you started. That you maybe tell everybody that you're going to do this. And then shame of you, you know, that you didn't do it. And they're like, oh, you kind of, I shouldn't speak my mind anymore, right? But what is the point here is that Jesus is telling us, if you're going to follow me, you better do your research. You better really sit down and count the cost. Because if you don't finish, if you stay in the middle and you preach and you do all this, the people are going to tell you, where is that pastor, where is that Luis who was preaching and saying all these things and then he didn't finish the race? Where is him? So Jesus is telling them, you really need to understand that if you're going to go join to this thing, you better finish it because you're going to bring to yourself shame. Amen? So we're going to count the cost. I have just a few minutes to finish. But there's apartments. I don't know if you go to Answer Street in Northern. For, I don't know, 3 or 4 years, there were some apartments there that they put all the frame and the apartments, and they lived in there for years. And every time that I passed, when I was going to work, you know, when I passed there, I see these apartments, and they've been vandalized. People, like, start throwing rocks, and the windows were, like, broken, and, you know. And I say to me, you know, when I passed, I was saying, man, I wonder if the person who started that job didn't really estimate how much it was going to cost, you know, because now it's been sitting there for years, and it's been, like, just people are just damaging that thing, you know. And then a few years later, then they finish it up, the whole thing, you know. But we need to understand, my brothers and sisters, that the moment you say, I'm a Christian, the moment you say, I follow Christ, the moment you say, I'm a leader of truth, the moment you say on this, the whole people's eyes are on you. And if you're going to say that, you better leave it. And you better count the cost. Amen? And Jesus finishes with this last phrase. Verse 34 and 35. It says this. The salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be salty again? In other words, there's not such thing as salt that is unsalty, or there's not salty. No. Why? That's not what happens naturally. Naturally, salt is salt and still being salt, you know. Now, what Jesus is saying in the midst of the whole context is saying this. These are the requirements for you to follow me. If you can get all this, these are the requirements, you can fulfill those requirements and you will be salt. You will be the real thing. But it says you can pretend. You can kind of look like it. But then you will be not the real thing. You will be the fake thing, right? Then you won't be able to stand. You won't be able to stand, I don't know how to say, for too long. But only when you are the real thing, you can endure until the end. And this race, and Jesus is not saying that we're going to get to that point right when we pray to him to come to our hearts. That's just the beginning. But it will take us the whole entire lives of denying ourselves, of paying the price, of continuously trying to put Christ first. It will take us the whole our lives to get to that point. And maybe even living all our lives to follow Jesus and deny ourselves, we might still short. But the point here is that if we want to follow Jesus, we have to strive for those requirements. We have to strive. And yes, some days you feel short. I tell you, honest, sometimes I feel so short. Even preaching this message, you know, when I was preparing it last night, on Wednesday when I was talking to Brandon about the message, say, I don't know, you know, it's kind of like it's too hard, you know. I don't measure up. It's so high, the bar, we say, you know. It's high, the bar is so high. Why is this? Who can accomplish this? But the thing is that we have to constantly strive to put Jesus always first. It's a battle. It's a challenge. It will take all of our lives, but it's worth it. Amen. It's paying the price. One day, you're going to be with Him. And everything that we have done will matter. Just looking at Him. Just being with Him. Just hearing Him say, come, my good and faithful servant. Amen. So, I want you to close your eyes right there and I will close. I want to challenge us, all of us, in the light of the scripture. My challenge don't really mean anything to you, but I just want us, all of us, to challenge ourselves with the scripture. Maybe there's somebody that's replacing the place of God in your life. It's not about hating. It's not about no having that relationship anymore. And it's about putting the priorities in your life. Who is to be first? Who you're going to love first? And then after you said in your life who's you're going to love first, who you're going to honor, who you're going to serve first, then all the relationships we follow that. So maybe it's something in your life is replaced, is taking the place. And the Lord is calling us and saying, if you want to follow me, you have to get rid of that. You have to love me first. You cannot be two gods. It's only me or it's that thing. And then maybe you're thinking you're following God, but then you think it's easy life, Christian, living the life of Christianity is easy. Let me say it's not. Jesus didn't never say it was going to be easy. If you are living an easy Christian life and you think it's easy, I'm questioning really if you are following Christ the way that He wants to be followed. So we got to ask ourselves. And I just tell you also, consider the cost. Consider the cost. And if you're going to join, if you're going to fall in Christ, you're not going to fall in Christ with your eyes closed. You're going to go knowing fully what it means and what it's going to take from you. And that's what Jesus wanted the crowds to understand and to know. What is the price to follow me? And that's what Jesus wants us to know. This is the price. And whatever you have to ask yourself, if you have to ask yourself there where you are, question yourself. I have to question myself often. Am I following Christ? Am I following you the way that you want me to? What are the things that I don't have to have in my life? What are the things that are taking your place? Father, and I question myself so much, and I say, God, help me to follow you in the right path that you want me to follow you. I want to serve you. I want to follow you the way that you want to, not the way that I have an idea that I might. That's the way. No, it's how you want me to follow you, not how I think or how others tell me to follow you, Father, about how you want to be followed. Let's pray this morning. And if you ask those questions to yourself and challenge yourself in the light of the scripture about where you are, and if you are straight away from the path, come back to Him. Ask for forgiveness. Repent. And keep following Him. with all your heart. Let me pray and I'll finish this morning. Father God, thank you for your love, for your kindness, for your word, Father. Thank you, Father, because this is not my word at all, Father. This is your word, Father. And thank you because this challenged all of us, Father, regardless of where we are in your walking with you, Father. I pray that every one of us, Father, we will ask these questions to us, Father. And if we have to go back, Father, to the path, to the right path, help us, Father. Give us the strength, Father. Help us not make excuses, Father, for it. But help us, Father, to go back to the right path, Father, so we can continue loving you, serve you, and following you the way you want to be followed, Father. Thank you so much for all your goodness and your kindness towards us, Father, because here's where we need your grace, Father. Here's where we need your forgiveness. Here's where we need, Father, your grace and your mercy, Father, to allow us to recognize who we are and where we are and to come back to you, Father. Thank you for that grace and that mercy. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great Sunday.